Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, the second day of June here in South Texas, Republic thereof. And he is still a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon somewhere in Europe. Dr. Troy Hall is off. He is in Europe celebrating 40 years of marriage, as well as a PhD in global leadership, teaching some MBA students from the College of Charleston about global leadership. He should be back sometime in June. I knew he was going to be gone a while. I checked over at South Carolina today. No one has seen him, and they are doing some remodeling over there at the headquarters building. But I do believe he's still on the continent of Europe. The name of the show, The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand, the Credit Union Journal, the Credit Union Times, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? One of those brands continues to leave me wanting more in a good way. The Credit Union Journal, all over the story we're going to talk about today. And the other one, let's just be gentlemanly about it, has just left me wanting. Don't know what's going on over at the Credit Union Times. Anyway, that's the name of the show, brought to you in part by XDI.com, xraydeltaindia.com. You have to send out statements. You have got to send out electronic and paper statements. And because you have to, you want to make sure you're doing it efficiently and effectively. And yes, elegantly. Everything says something about your brand. And whether your member is perusing their statement on their MacBook Pro or their Android telephone, gosh, I hope that's not the case. Well, I hope they're looking at the statement. You want it to be accurate and elegant. Say something positive about your credit union. You need to check out our buddies at xdi.com, xraydeltaindia.com, Express Data Incorporated. Going into our third summer celebrating this amazing event, if you want to bring back, have all the benefits of a conference. You know, what do they call a thing where you're walking around meeting people? Whenever I need to think of a word, it flies right out of networking with people. The original form of networking, the original social networking, you'd go to a conference. Hey, I'm so-and-so from ABC Credit Union. Here's my business card. Call me sometime. You can do that. You can do all of that. You can enjoy a beautiful part of the country down in San Diego and down at the Del Mar Racetrack. I'm sorry, I said Belmont last week. Del Mar Racetrack, amazing event, amazing place. And if you think someone at your credit union can cook the best bowl of chili, you can bring back $5,000 to give to the charity of your choice. And that's pretty cool. And this is our 30-year doing this. They've given thousands and thousands of dollars to credit unions and their charities because, of course, credit unions, that wonderful cooperative marketplace that is the credit union marketplace, everybody gets along as the unicorn hustles high over the rainbow in the credit union marketplace, as we were told. I remember this show. I think it was two summers ago. Our good buddy, Ann Legg, came on the show and parenthetically read to me all 7 credit union principles. And wow, that was a long segment, but about 4 minutes into it, number 6 came up and it was all about cooperation between the cooperatives. Well, what happens when there is a competitive cooperative? It's the name of the episode today, the competitive cooperative. I had to put the pop filter on. I hope it's working. All those letter P's in there that you've got to say so quickly, the competitive cooperative. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about my shared history with both of those brands, one much more so than the other, which is why I've just been shaking my head about this thing all week. There's just something about it doesn't make sense. And so we're going to talk about it. And of course, thank you so much for joining us. It is the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Grow Financial Federal Credit Union Tampa has filed suit in federal court against GTE Financial, alleging a former employee conspired with GTE to steal private information from the credit union, including trade secrets, first thing that caught my attention, and private member information. So we'll talk about it, but I'm telling you, we live in a competitive environment. No matter what you do, no matter how much money you give to the credit union foundation, no matter how many times you quote the credit union principles, we live in a competitive marketplace. And yes, credit unions compete with one another. And we're going to talk about that too. They compete with one another. And to quote Brad Hamilton from the class of 1983, Fast Times at Ridgemont High School, know it, learn it, live it. We'll talk about it right after this.
A lot of credit unions are here, but if you're not here, you're not participating in something that credit unions ought to be here doing. We're raising money for charity, we're having fun, we're spending time together, and we're making some great choices.
That is Bill Burney from Pacific Marine Credit Union. He himself is a Marine, talking about the XDI Chili Challenge. All right, well, let's talk about this. As is often the case, just minding my own business, looking through email and social media feeds and the like, and I come across a story on the CU Journal, the Credit Union Journal. Now, I want to say right up front, we've been doing the show for 8 years, and for a couple of years, maybe even more than that, we had a segment called Sarah Says. The editrix of the CU Times would come on and give us the top news story of the week. And so whenever I see something like this, the first thing I do is I go out and check other credit union news sources. I couldn't find anything on the CU Times. It's just been real weird. Tried to call a couple people over there yesterday and this morning. Nobody answers. Huh. I tried to call the author, the byline on this story from the Credit Union Journal, about 10 minutes before showtime, and wow, it's amazing. You punch in the area code and the number. He picked up the phone and couldn't be any nicer. I was just checking to see if there had been any late-breaking developments, any new information. Aaron Passman is the byline on this story. He said there had not been. There had not been. And but like I said, when I first saw the story, it obviously got my attention because I've done work for Grow Financial. I did their strategic planning way back when I was speaking, you know, two or three times a week at different conferences everywhere. I did their strategic planning. I remember because I couldn't believe it. I was always told at those events in the early and mid 2000s, oh, you look, this is the way they would say to me, you look too young to come in and do strategic planning. Because, of course, it was with the board members, which, by the way, in credit union parlance is the polite way of saying older Americans or old people, but it is what it is. And people would tell me that. And it wasn't like it happened once. It happened all the time. The board members, oh, no, young man, we got to. And I was in my mid-30s at the time. I might not have looked it, but I'd had plenty of credit union experience. Well, the guys from Grow Financial brought me up to do their strategic planning. It was, I mean, white glove, top notch. Everything was just perfect. Sent the town car. I wasn't expecting any of it. Because I hadn't done a lot of strategic planning, I was beginning to wonder if, wow, am I up to this? Anyway, so that was at the end of 2005 or 2006. It wasn't any earlier or any later than that. Maybe 2004. I don't know. But we obviously start the day. I'd Googled, how do you do a strategic planning session? And we start writing down the list of all of their competitors, and we called them that. Okay, we shouldn't say all of the people in our fellow cooperative are, you know, under the rainbow with us are these credit unions. No, we said it's our competitors. And one of the ones they listed was a place called GTE Telephone that I had kind of heard of, but not really. You see, credit unions at MAC conferences, and I never did the Florida Credit Union League. It's one of the only credit union leagues I never did work for. So I don't know how I knew the name, but I knew GTE Telephone was a credit union in Florida. It might have been from my internet banking sales days. And so they said, we're not worried about them. And they shouldn't have been. GTE Telephone was a rotary phone away from conservatorship. Back at the turn of the decade, they were I thought they were going down. When I heard that the newly hired CEO was going from Boeing Employees Credit Union, where we had just done a massive all-employee event. Boeing Employees Credit Union had never done an all-employee event for their audience, for their employees. So naturally, they called the people that had the best performance in the credit union conference space. Myself, Scott McKenna, and Nike Van Wyk went up there and put on that live musical performance that we do. The video is still on my YouTube channel. It was one of the most amazing events I ever attended in a beautiful part of the country up in Washington State. And I mean, it's Seattle, that whole tech area, just fascinating place to be. And I hear that the new CEO of GTE Financial is leaving this environment to go to a credit union that is on its last, literally on its last leg, literally dying. And in one of the most underreported news stories in the past 5 to 7 years, the turnaround at GTE Financial has been, in a word, amazing. It has been absolutely amazing. And we did an employee event for them. I went on to host an employee podcast, an internal podcast, although we did a lot of shows for the members too that were really, really awesome. And I did that for 3 years, 3 years with them under contract. And like I said, that's why I shook my head when I saw the story. I'll admit to a bias here. I mean, you get involved for 3 years with the employees of a single credit union, you get to know some people. And I got to know this brand and had the educational benefit. It was worth like an MBA to me, by the way, since I'm too lazy and too cheap to go get a real MBA. It was like a real MBA to me just to watch how this gigantic credit union, it was a big credit union, it was a $1 billion brand, you know, completely turned itself from a seg-based telephone employees credit union to this new, elegant, there's another word for it, kind of a hip brand, this wonderfully inclusive, this just take chances, and they never hid any of it. They sent dozens of people onto this show, the one you're listening to now, to share all their innovations and all their successes and all the great things that they were doing. And no one ever said, but I was told we can't talk about this. They were a proud and persistent partner in the credit union marketplace. They shared their ideas openly. They shared their thoughts and their innovations openly. They didn't hide it from anybody. Not a single soul. It was all out there. None of those shows were deleted. They've got all the social media channels you'll ever need. And I think all the credit union media ignored them. Of course, she had that little blatherskite out in New Mexico or wherever she is. What's her name? Denise Wymore, the only guest we've ever had on this show where I had to warn her, there's no delay. You say one bad word and the interview is over. And we held that big debate between myself and Denise Wymore about should GTE Financial, should they have taken the name credit union out of their brand? And that's just GTE Financial. What happened to the Federal Credit Union? What about the credit union marketplace? And Denise went crazy. Oh, this is so bad. This is so bad for the credit union marketplace. And so we had a very, very publicized, very, very highly listened to episode on this very show where we debated that. And I said, I'm going to judge the results, Denise. You can judge the intentions. And that's what a lot of people like to do in the credit union marketplace. But the results are there for everybody to see. GTE Financial has a beautiful brand, a tremendous presence down in Tampa and in that area. And I mean, just a perfect example of a credit union taking advantage of its history. All these people from the Northeast moving down there. Tampa's become kind of the financial sub-capital of the Eastern Seaboard down there in Florida. If you can't get to your broker in January in New York City because there is 25 inches of rain and the city employees are on strike, you can go to Florida and just and golf every day and have a great life and meet great people and have great food and great culture and stuff like that. GTE jumped right into that, And so that's why I was shaking my head. And there are some things in the story that when I first heard trade secrets, friends, I'm like, there's no trade secrets left in the credit union marketplace. I have been involved in the financial marketplace actively since 1997. I started working for Norwest Banks that became Wells Fargo. But in 1999 is when I first got introduced to credit unions, when I got a job at Clark American. It was a check printer. And we had three big competitors. We had Harland, we had Deluxe, and we had Liberty, which was a credit union only check printer. And I was like, what about checks in the mail? Well, we owned checks in the mail. Clark American owned checks in the mail. So not a big deal. Well, I'm looking at it now because it sits on my desk, rarely used, over on the other side of the studio. I still have a checkbook. And it's Frost Bank, which is like a legacy account at the time for Clark American. It's like, we'll always be partners. And if you're familiar with checks, you millennials may not use checks much anymore, but if you're familiar with checks, as you get close to the end of your check, sometimes you'll see this thing that says it's time to reorder. Well, we had this top secret meeting at Clark American about something called, and believe me, you know, 18 years later, the non-compete that I signed about this has long since expired. It was called the In-Touch Messaging Team. I mean, they whisked us off in a little van to an offsite meeting, and we had this great new innovation that we were going to start stitching into the book of checks more than that advertisement. Apply for a loan today. You write 10 more checks. You see another ad. Don't forget, we offer internet banking between the hours of 7 and 9, 4 days a week. But it was a big innovation at the time, and we were, you know, sworn to secrecy. You know, you share this information with anybody. Credit Union Marketplace is a small place. Liberty's going to find out about it. I actually went on a fake job interview to Liberty Check Printers to see if they were talking about it. I mean, it was top secret. You would have thought it was national security. And for a time, it was very innovative that the bank or the credit union could have their own personalized message stitched into the checks, 4 or 5 per book. And in those days, people were using a lot of checks in 1999 and the year 2000. Now, of course, the use of checks plummeted way before the non-compete and trade secret of that ever, and had it got it out, it wouldn't have mattered because the marketplace was changing so rapidly. So I know how important things like that are. I just can't imagine a trade secret now at a credit union, even a $2.2 billion credit union grow is. I think they have more assets than GT Financial, but fewer members. I think GT has more members, but I don't even know how they do assets. I always think that just means how much money is in the lobby. I mean, in the safe or whatever, but whatever. They're similar sized credit unions competing. There's that word again, in a pretty, you know, limited place. Florida, the peninsula right there. And, you know, you've got a lot of competitors, and it's not just credit unions. There's other credit unions in that area that are competing for the same loan dollars and same deposit dollars and same mortgage dollars. And it's all lending dollars when you get right down to it. And that was my reaction. I spent 3 years talking to people that were voluntarily professional. That show we did, we had Ishita Gupta on. She had been an intern at GTE Financial. You'd have thought she was a PhD in nuclear physics, the way she spoke, the way she talked, the passion she brought. And we did a whole show of interns for the interns at GTE, and every single one of them representing countries from all over the world and places right here in the United States. I mean, there was just top notch. Top shelf financial talent over at GTE Financial. They've got a laundry list of things that they've done that no one else has even thought about. And so I remain very, very skeptical that there's anything here. I never saw anything that was even borderline unprofessional. This was a wire-tight organization. The fun and elegance of their brand was never sacrificed for a lack of operational efficiency. And yeah, they went through a leadership change, but show me a credit union that hasn't. And credit unions go through these changes. When you have a lot of highly effective people, there's always going to be a need for changes, whether it's for decisions or I have no idea about that, by the way. My contract with the podcast had ended by the time all that was happening. But I'm just saying, it just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. And as I read through the story, first of all, just a little tidbit. This one's free, Grow Financial. I probably am not in a position to do any work for you. I sort of have an allegiance to GTE Financial, even if I'm not getting a paycheck from them because of my experience with them. There is a value to loyalty, by the way. There is something to be said about loyalty. It's not a bad word, actually. But here's a tidbit of advice, because we did this when I worked at Norwest Banks. The second somebody gives their 2-week notice at the bank, we might pay them the 2 weeks for the courtesy. They were gone. There's no reason to take any chances of the commercial banker, you know, taking that stack of business cards in 1997 or that, you know, Lotus spreadsheet of all the best car dealers in town and taking it with them to his next job at Midland National Bank and, you know, undercutting you in the Ford F-150 marketplace in the Permian Basin. As soon as someone gave their 2 weeks notice, it is time for them to go because of the nature of business. And that's just something I found a little mind-boggling for a facility. And I don't know if that's the policy at credit unions. I'm just saying that was our policy in Midland, Texas. So anyway, from the story, a federal lawsuit is alleging that Tampa-based Grow Financial, Federal Credit Union, GT Financial, alleges that a former Grow employee, so she was still working for Grow, sent private member info to GTE before being hired, shared Grow's dealer scorecard, sent data to personal account, caused a breach. Okay, well, we'll find out. I'm interested to see how this turns out. I'm going to keep an open mind about it. But like I said, I am basing this on my extensive relationship with GTE. And, you know, from the story, Brian Best, the CEO at GTE, said, although efforts were made to gain understanding and clarification prior to this point, we neglected to receive any additional communication that could have helped in possibly avoiding litigation. GTE will continue to move forward in positive ways, ensuring the member employee experience will not be impacted. We wholeheartedly believe in partnership and support fellow credit unions to strengthen the industry and our community, and will continue to do so. I have no doubt, because they have been for the past 5 or 6 years. I mean, good luck calling the marketing people at GT Financial. I guarantee you they're out somewhere today doing something in the community, and they're not hiding it. They've been very gracious with their time and their intellectual capital. This one, I don't know. There's just something here. You can read the story, see your journal, and make up your own mind. And of course, as is in all cases, literally in this particular case, literal case, you know, time is going to tell what happens next. But it was just, I don't know. Sometimes you read a story and you think, hey, there's something there. And sometimes you read a story and you have the opposite reaction. Hey, we'll wrap it up right after this. Right. The Competitive Cooperative, the name of the episode today. If you're wondering why there's that lovely picture of Carolyn Willard, the new CEO of the Cornerstone League, she is scheduled to join us next Friday, talk about her new gig. Like I said, I spoke at a lot of credit union events. The co-op was one of them. I used to say on the road, there were only a few brands that I'd come across in my credit union days that nobody ever complained about. And the co-op was always one of them. People just loved the co-op and that ATM benefit that they got for their members. And so she left her gig at the co-op and is now running the Cornerstone League, which I think is the credit, the Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas league. I think they've combined those three states into one league. And so I think that's a great gig for her, by the way. I actually think someday she might be the head of the NCUA based upon her age and just the the jobs that she's had in the credit union marketplace. So we're looking forward to having her on the show. I've actually wanted to have her on, gosh, 3 or 4 years from when she was at the co-op. And so it's going to be good to find out what her plans are for the Cornerstone League. So you want to join us next week for that same time, right here online. You can listen live or you can listen later. It is the Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. My name is Jason Dyes, and until next we speak.
The end of the NFL, folks.